So we're continuing our learning of the book Garden of Emunah by Rav Shalom Arush. We're learning that really we don't know half of what's going on in the world. In fact, we don't know a fraction, not even a small percent. Half of 1% would be lucky to actually realize what's going on in the world. So much is out of our knowledge that we can't make a valid, correct judgment about what's going on in the world. Because we just don't know. We don't have the information to know. We have the information that God gives us in front of our face, but it's very limited. So from the information He gives us, we make our own conclusions. But we have to know that those conclusions are based on very limited information. So they're not reliable. Sometimes we might get lucky and they'll be correct. But equally, and more than equally, there's at least a 99% chance we actually don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're talking about. We don't know what's we don't know what's going on. So how do we So we're left with relying on God, relying on Hashem. And the ultimate answer is to say that we don't know. But what we know that everything's good. It's not our job to work everything out. Hashem didn't put us into the world to say, you're in charge, you need to fix everything. Our job is not to fix any one of them ourselves. And even us, we need His help. So it's not important for me to work out exactly why this happened to him and he did that to who and he's doing what to what. I'm trying to work out the answers. Doesn't help me. In fact, it takes me off course. Because I worry so much about other people, I forget that I'm meant to be here looking at myself. For that, I don't. To work on myself, I don't need to bother about trying to understand how the world works, to understand how my life works. I don't need to worry about other people, what God is doing over here, what's He doing over there, why He's doing it. I need to do what I have to do. I've got a job to do, I need to work out what my job is, work out how I'm going to do it. And I need to pray to Hashem a lot that He helps me. The fact that we don't know what's going on, it's especially the case with other people. We have no idea what's going on with other people. And it doesn't help us to try and think that we do. What do we mean? What do I mean? It's very easy for us to be led astray by the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, to think badly of other people. It's very easy to do that. Hashem shows us crystal clear the bad in other people. It's very easy. People mess up all the time. We're human, we're not perfect. And it's easy for us to latch on to the bad and to see that that's not our job. I mean, Nachman explains that our job is to see the good in other people, Dafka the opposite. Going to look for something in another person. You're going to start paying attention to another person. Look for something. So look for the good. Don't look for the bad in the other person. We learned in Masechet Ta'anit, I think it was, the story of Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar came back one day from the study hall. He was very happy with himself. He'd had some very good learning. He was a bit full of ga'ava. And he met on the way home a very ugly person. And the Gemara relates, he said to the person, how ugly are you? Are all the people from your town so ugly? The man got very upset with him. He said to him, don't question me, question the one who made me. Right? It's not my problem. It's if you have a problem with the way I look, then take it back to the one who made me. Why are you asking me? It's not my fault that I look like this. So take it back to Hashem. So of Elazar, realized that he made a mistake, etc. The story goes on. But what's the interesting thing? So Rav Ofer Erez explains like this. He says, when Rav Elazar said to this man, "How ugly are you?" He didn't mean, "How ugly are you?" Rav Elazar was a huge Tana, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? Huge. It's not relevant to him whether somebody looks pretty or ugly. Completely irrelevant. And for sure, even if it was relevant, he's not going to stoop so low as to tell a person he's ugly. So that's not what's going on. So what is going on? So there's lots of other things going on, but Rafa Aaron explained it like this. He said, when he said to him, "How ugly are you?" And he replied to him, don't bring your claims to me, bring them to the one who made me. So he wasn't talking about how he looked. It's irrelevant how he looked. He's talking about his midot. This man had bad midot. When Rav Elazar said hello to him, he didn't reply. And that's why Rav Elazar said to him, "How ugly are you?" Right? He didn't reply to him. He's the great Talmid HaChacham, Kavod HaTorah, that if a huge person like Rav Elazar comes and says shalom to you, you at least respond to him. Right? So clearly this man was displaying bad midot. So he was saying to him, "How ugly are your midot?" The man then said to him, "Don't take it to me, take it to the grid, take it to Hashem." Meaning what? Meaning we should realize, and you should have realized, that's why he made teshuva, that even our bad midot are from Hashem. If you think I've got bad midot, so you're right, I do have bad midot. But where do you think they came from? I didn't make the bad midot. I didn't create myself with bad midot. I have bad midot. Hashem created me with these midot. I get angry. I'm selfish. I'm jealous. You name them, right? But they came from God. He wants me to fix them and work on them, and that's why he gave me a job to do. But they're from him. We tend to forget that. We tend to blame the person for their own bad midot. When someone gets angry with us, for example, or someone is not nice to us, so what do? We see the person. We associate those bad midot with the person. When really we should be associating those bad midot with the one who gave him the bad midot. They're from God. If we have a problem, we have to take the problem back to the source. The reason that person is displaying bad midot against me is he got bad midot from Hashem, who gave him bad midot, and now he's using those bad midot. What does it mean? It means that our job is not to identify the bad midot with the person. He's not a bad person. He's a person who's suffering, like we just learned from Rav Arash in the Shiur. When we're praying for someone to make teshuva, I'm praying for him because he's a misken. The words of the translation of Rav Dror, he's a poor person, right? He's a misken. There's no real English word. There's no English word for misken, right? He's a chaval, victim. Maybe he's a sorry individual, right? Who has to suffer? Who suffers more with his bad midot than I'm ever going to suffer being on the other end of them? Right? He suffers a lot more. If I associate the bad midot with him, I don't like him, I'm not going to pray for him, I don't care about him, and get out of here. Right? But if I associate the bad midot with the fact that he's suffering, and he's been given a very hard task in this world, to live with those bad midot, and to try and fix them. And we all know how easy it is to fix our midot, right? It's impossible. Any midot. So this guy got lumbered with being a real jerk, a real angry, right? That's what he got lumbered with from Shemayim. How easy is it for him to fix those? Really, really very difficult. He needs a lot of prayer, and he needs a lot of siyata dishmaya, and a lot of rachamim from Shemayim in order to fix those. So how do I look on him? So ideally, and there's no reason why we shouldn't all strive for this, I should be praying for him. Chaval for him. But I can't do that unless I can dissociate I can realign my perspective, re-understand what's going on here. If I think he's just a nasty guy who's just being nasty to me, well, no chance, I'm not praying on him. Well, the opposite, I'd rather that he gets what he deserves, so to speak, right? But if I understand, which is not easy, but if I try and understand that actually he's suffering just as much as I'm suffering with my bad me. I wouldn't like anyone to be upset with me from the fact that I can't help being selfish sometimes, or I can't help being arrogant sometimes, or whatever it is that I suffer from, right? And I wouldn't want someone to think bad of me just because the Yetzirah overtook me. And we know that Hashem says in the Gemara that person can't fight the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is stronger than him. And if it wasn't for Hashem helping him, he can't fight. So I, just like I'm overcome by my Yetzirah sometimes, when Hashem doesn't fix it for me, so too he is. And just like I wouldn't like people to associate me as being my bad Yetzirah, so it's not me, it's just my Yetzirah. I'm actually really good inside. I've got a very good neshama. I have a Yetzirah that does what the Yetzirah does. It's not me. I wouldn't want people to associate me with that Yetzirah. I would like to see, like people to understand and to know but that was just his Yetzirah, but he's actually a good guy. So too is our ideal way of seeing other people. We should give them the same benefit. Meaning, exactly what Rabbi Nachman says about looking for the good. Looking for the good point in another person. To see that they do have good in them that's worth praying for. It's worth praying that they do teshuvah. Like the wife of Rabbi Meir Bruria told him, don't pray that they die. You're right, they're really annoying gits. They're evil people. You're right, 100% they're evil people. But pray for them to do shuva. But how do I do that? Only if I think that it's worth it, Hashem can do it. Hashem wants to do it, and they can make teshuva. There's something there to make teshuva from. If I just see a nasty guy, what's there to make teshuva? Right? Like Rabbi said also today, the fact that when Noah, the reason why Noah didn't pray for the rest of the generation, he looked around and thought, what's the point? Look at them all. They're evil. They're Mavash evil. And he was right. They were acting in a very evil way. Everyone, well, what's the point? Get rid of them, Hashem. Start again. Didn't understand that Hashem can fix them, that even they do Shuvah. We need to believe ourselves in the same thing. That people can make teshuvah, not that people can make teshuvah because they can't, and you're in Hashem's hands, but Hashem can wake them up to make teshuvah. Just like I was woken up, and each person can think for themselves, but just like I was woken up, there's no reason why Hashem had to do that for me. I could still be stuck where I was stuck. But just like he woke me up, he can do that to everybody else. If we pray for him to do so. If we want it, Hashem can go down that path. And Hashem leaves it in our hands. You know, we're just like he left it in Noah's hands. Said, no, you choose. If you want me to get rid of them, I'll get rid of them. If you want to pray for them, then maybe we can do something here. But he left it up to Noah to decide. Hashem's like, fine, whichever way you want. We have to believe we have the same power in our hands. Yet we can also, Rabbi Nachman said, a person can bring us someone back to do teshuva just by seeing the good in them. We have to believe that's true. He didn't make it up. Everything the tzaddik says is true. Everything. Whether or not we understand it, how does it work? Who knows how it works? It's a spiritual thing. Rabbi Nachman says that you can bring someone back to teshuva just by looking for the good points in that person. So that's 100% correct. I don't need to argue against it. From what position am I arguing? Well, because I don't understand how it works. Well, I don't understand it, so it can't be true. No, I don't understand. He told us how it works. The other important thing of looking for the good in other people is that the way we treat others is the way we treat ourselves. What does it mean? It means that the way I look on others is the way I look on myself. If I get very angry with other people, then what's happening is I'm getting very angry with myself. If I'm blaming other people for things, I'm actually also blaming myself for it. It's just a reflection, whether or not I'm consciously aware of it or not, but I'm doing it to myself. And I'm bringing down on myself harsh judgments because I'm judging other people. The way I judge other people is the way Hashem judges me. It's like, that's your view of the world. So that's how the world works. So I get a very useful side benefit when I judge other people. When I find the good in other people, then I also start to find the good in myself. And when I look for the bad in other people, then it means I'm actually also looking for the bad in myself. Before we need to strengthen ourselves in seeing that it's God. Hashem is able to do everything. He can bring them back, he can bring me back. He can fix them and he can fix me. He can fix the entire world. I said that we just need to believe in his mercy. Hashem deals with the generation according to the way they want to be dealt with. They want to be dealt with by the ways of mercy, and he shows them mercy. If they're dealing harshly with one another, you see that most times when the Jews had difficult decrees against them, it's because they were treating each other badly. Between man and man, the sins between man and man were very bad. Right? They were not treating each other nicely. That's why we got most of the harsh decrees against Am Yisrael. Not because we weren't keeping Shabbos or we were doing anything, we weren't praying so well, we weren't learning Torah so much. Because the harsh decrees, the physical suffering that we went through, was because we were physically treating other people badly. So we got treated ourselves in the same way. And it works across the board. The way we see others, the way we understand Hashem. Somebody does something not nice to us and we demand justice. So that's what the same thing happens to us. We can't run the world with one rule for other people and one rule for us. When we demand justice against other people, so we're really demanding justice against ourselves as well. Because we also do the same things. The very same things that we see in other people. They're not exactly the same, otherwise we'd catch it. But they're hidden. They're almost the same thing. We demand judgment against ourselves. We need to pray that Hashem opens our eyes to see the good in everything. Oh, let's continue a little bit more in the book. So we'll say, we just finished off in the book, stories about people dying. Not fun. This one died young, this one died in a bad way, this one died in a difficult way. And Rash writes, Adam eino yodea mahu ba l'taken u'lashlim b'zeh olam. Person doesn't know what he came to fix in this world.
You don't know?
Do you know what he came to fix in the world? No.
What's the difficulty?
Right, he says here, you don't know. So good. It's good you don't know. He says it's good that you don't know, because otherwise you'd be going against the book. Rabbi says you don't know, so you don't want to fight against Rabbi. Right, he says you don't know. You don't know what you came here to fix. Well, maybe you go to someone who tells you, but he doesn't know when he's going to fix it either. You don't know when you're going to manage to fix it. Could be, might fix it today. Might fix it in another 20 years. Might fix it in another 50 years. Who knows when I'm going to fix what I came down here to fix. And we also don't know how we're going to be taken from this world. When we're finished, we don't know how Hashem is going to decide to take us. Some people pass away in their sleep. Some people, well, they're giving whatever they're doing. So, we don't know how or when. Lachen, therefore, therefore, it's fitting and appropriate that a person gives some thought to the day that he's going to die. A person is going to die at some time. Like, King Shlomo, the wisest man in the world, said, Tom lalechet el beit avel, milechet el beit mishta. It's better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting. Vashehu sof kol adam, because it's the end of all, every person. Hachai yiten el ibo, and a living person should pay attention to it. Right? The house of feasting is very nice, but it doesn't help me recognize what I'm here in the world to do. It takes my mind off it. It's very nice to go to a house of feasting, a suda, or whatever, a party. Wonderful. But it takes me away from my purpose in the world. It takes my mind off it. It's nice. There's a time and place when a person needs a bit of relaxation. But generally speaking, much better. I'm much more likely to fulfill the reason I'm down here in the world if I go to a house of mourning. My stop makes me really think about what I'm doing in the world, than a house of feasting. Lichora, therefore, Muvame divrei kohelet, she tov l'adam l'lecha l'beit avelim, kadei she yureh ma sof adam, v'yivein chagam hu, kach yeh b'sofo. In order that a person should also know that he too one day is going to reach that position, so you better start thinking about how I'm acting now, because I'm going to be in that same position at some time. So you should think about that, right? I used to read a lot of, before I got from and realized God was in the world and that there was a plan and whatever. So I was also looking for the plan and the way to make, so I was, you know, did all those self-help courses, NLP, and all that. So anyway, in one of them, many years, 20, 30 years ago, I remember it said, person should write down what he would want people to say on his gravestone.
Well, I remember that.
Yeah, that's a common thing, right? And you have to say, oh, well, he was a nice person. And then you have to see, well, is that true? He was a nice person. He did chesed, you know, or he was a git. He was like, he was selfish. He looked after himself, right? Talbis, it was a nice idea, but it's the same idea, right? Person actually thinks about that. How do you want to be when you're, whatever, 120, 119, and, right? It's helpful to motivate us to start trying to change, wanting to change. Truth is, we can't change. We can't change. We can't do nothing. Only he can change us. What can we do? Only rats on. The rats on to change, the desire to change. That's all we can have, the will to change. If we have the will to change, then Hashem tells us that he'll change us. Right? Because nothing stands in the way of the person's rats on, and the way a person wants to go, that's the way they lead him, but only from the rats on. That's off, right? But to be frustrated and I can't change, I can't believe it, I'm still angry, you have to be angry that I'm still angry. I'm so angry that I'm still angry and I can't get rid of my anger. Right? It's done. It's not in my hands. If I want to change, and Hashem's going to change me at some point, I don't know when. And those things which are difficult, for example, tatterbox. So it's going to take a long time. I want to change. And it's not changing. But told that only when Hashem says, it's not in my hands to change. I shouldn't feel bad about myself that I'm still stuck the way I am. Because he hasn't changed me yet. My job is to just want. The more I want to change, and I'm interested in that view, which is why Rabbi Arish says that we need to pray half an hour every day to make sure we actually have that real rats on. If I have that rats on today, I pray half an hour today. Tomorrow, don't really care anymore. So it's not, wasn't a real, what happened to your rats on yesterday? It wasn't a real rats on. It was a little bit, for sure there was something true. You prayed a whole half an hour. You can't pray half an hour if you've got no rats on. So for sure I had some rats on, but it's not enough. I had to have rats on that every single day I want to be free. Every single day, that means it's true. Every single day you want to breathe, yeah. That's a real rat's on. Every single day you want to stay away from this tablet, yeah. So then eventually you'll go. But only after I've shown every single day. Some days, I don't really care. So it's not so strong then. And that's okay, because the truth, because I can't go from the where he put me, like we said at the beginning, Hashem gave me that ratzon, Hashem gave me that desire, that ta'ava. He doesn't expect me to make it disappear overnight. But what he does expect me to do is to gradually want to change. And that could take a long time, but that's fine. Because we don't know how long our tikkun's meant to take. But as long as we're working on it, our job is not to complete. Our job is just to go to start. I like to go down the road to make that choice. You know what? Admit I have a bad midah. Admit that that's not good for me. And to say to Hashem, I know it's not good for me, and I want you to take it away from me, because I can't do it. And that's it. Then I'm clean. I'm clean from my obligation, because that's the maximum I can do. I can't make it go myself. All I have to do is wait for him patiently to take it away. And that takes a year, 5 years, 10 years. Depends on how committed I am and what I have to fix. How long he needs to take it to fix. It can be fixed in a blink of an eye, right? The story of Rav Elazar ben Dodaya in the Gemara that was with all of the prostitutes. And he fixed himself in one day, one moment. So you can go from being the maximum, right? The Gemara tells about the story of the maximum. There was no lady of that type in the world that he hadn't been with. The maximum that's possible on that extreme, and showing you that even that maximum can be fixed in a shah, in a moment. Can be. He lost his neshama. His neshama went to Shemayim after he was finished. That was his tikkun. His tikkun was, you're going to be brought down into the world with the biggest ta'ava in the world for this stuff. And your tikkun is to fix it. How long is it going to take? Who knows? If he would have done half an hour a day, well, that's also good. Taking him 20 years, half an hour a day, he would have fixed it. He chose the harder route, which was to scream to the heavens until his neshama left him. Right, so I also fixed it. Right, we fixed it. So too, wherever we're holding on that ta'ava, it can be fixed. No one should think that they're worse than Rav Elazar ben Dodaya, because you're not. It's impossible. The Gemara gave the hardest case in order to learn from the hardest case. No point learning from a guy who had a little bit of a problem. Right, well, what does that tell me if this guy had a little bit of a problem? Doesn't teach me anything. Right, I've got a huge problem. No, learn from the guy who had the biggest problem, and even he fixed himself. Right, so to teach us that it's all fixable. We need to trust in Hashem's mercy and do our bit, which is that right now I can't do anything apart from ask Hashem. But that's all he wants. He just wants me to ask him. You're the one who gave it to me, and you're the one who's going to fix it. And I'm doing my job by just asking you to fix it. And Shabbat Hashem, Hashem will have mercy on all of us and fix us all speedily with Moshiach.